This is Judith Conrad Radio, presenting extraordinary visionary experts in health, wealth, business, and manifesting your dreams come true. And now, here's your host, Judith Conrad, starting your day with the good news.
Well, welcome. This is Judith Conrad. Yes, and it is a sleepy, rainy day. The good news is it is not snowing, and also it is not windy. So the last couple of days we've had some wind and some flooding. Eugene, Springfield area is getting rained on. And, you know, we need the rain. It's always about looking at the bright side of everything. You know, we can get upset because it rains, but then we get reminded that this is Oregon, and that's what happens in Oregon. Well, I want to thank all of you for your comments on yesterday's program. I had Mark Dodick on, and we talked about astrology. He's a Libra. I'm a Scorpio, and I just feel that Libras and Scorpios just really are very compatible in most things that we do. So it was a great interview, and some of you emailed me or texted and wanted me to post the four cards that I did yesterday. So I will be posting the radio program sometime this evening, and I'm going to go ahead and post the reading that I did because it was so powerful. Today we do have another reading, and that's another story. It's another day. Today we're going to be talking a little bit later on with a good friend of mine, Angie, from the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and we're going to be talking about Gulf and how it is very spiritual. It is a metaphor for life. And she happens to teach golf, and she's also a spiritual teacher. How can that? You can't beat that. All right. So I'd like to lead out here today with one of the stones, the crystals. And this has been floating around my desk, and it kept saying, read it on the radio. And so that's part of messages that come through to me sometimes, and sometimes they're strong, and sometimes they just kind of whisper and hope I'll hear it. So this is, the stone is called malachite. Now, malachite is a green stone, and it is, oh, I love it. And this material comes from Melody. Love is in the earth. So malachite is a stone of transformation and assists in changing situations. If you want to change any situation, I would sleep with it under my pillow. I would use it as a worry stone. You can just rub it. You can place it over your heart. You can sit on it. You can do whatever you want to do it. Some people have jewelry with malachite. So it's a stone of transformation. Malachite helps to clear and activate the chakras. Clearing the chakras is very, very important, especially the lower chakras, first, second, and third. Chakras, for those people who do not know what they are, they're energy centers, and there are seven of them. Well, there are many, many more, but we're just going to talk about the seven. The lower one, the first chakra is, you know, for all of a sudden it just flew out of my mind. I'll just let you know it's red. And it is for your base foundation. It is your finances. It is connecting to the earth. Second chakra, moving up just a little bit in the solar plexus, below the solar plexus. It is the second chakra. It is orange, and it relates to sexuality, sensuality, creativity. Third chakra is just below the navel, and that is yellow, and that is fight or flight. It is your power chakra, and then you move up to the heart chakra. It's green, and of course, here's that green. Put green malachite over the heart. Emeralds are good too, but we're talking malachite. And then you go to the throat chakra, and you can put the malachite on any of these chakras if you feel your sexuality, sensuality in the second chakra is really cloudy. You may want to put it over there. And then you move up to the throat. If you're finding you can't speak anything, you just put that right over the throat chakra, and that will help clear and clean that chakra. Moving up to the third eye, which is just above the brow line, and that is indigo, which is just blue-black. It is gorgeous, and it helps clear. You put the malachite there, it will clean up your intuitiveness and the psychic center. Moving up to the crown chakra, you have the violet. Some people say it's white, but I think white is just above that. doesn't make any difference. You're just, if you want to clear out your connection to spirit, I would, you know, ask that all chakras be cleared. So we've explained that that clearing and activating the chakras is the malachite. It stimulates the heart and throat. So the heart and throat really is, they're important. If you want to clarify the emotions, allow recognition and release of negative experiences. Yeah, you can have some negative experiences out there. Someone cuts you off and you really get really angry. Just grab that malachite. I have a friend, you know, she sells crystals in Mount Shasta. She has a whole bunch of crystals right there in a little tray where just above the shifting lever. And it's good to facilitate insight to determine causes of situation and conditions. Is this not relevant for the time we're going into right now with the 2012? I mean, yesterday we were talking with Mark about the Neptune Pisces, which is a lot of confusion, a lot of fog, a lot of being in the forest, not being able to get out. So I just grabbed this thing for the right reason, I think, because it's about helping to get the clarity. There are many other things that it says, but we'll do those another day, and we'll go on to other crystals, and that's really important. And now, let's look at a little bit more of the astrology. Coming up on March the 22nd, we have an Aries new moon. Now, you remember that new moons are about new beginnings, and we always write our new moon check to ascertain that we're going to have prosperity. It's right here. So Aries, for me, is the pioneer. It is new. It is so a new moon, new beginnings. Aries, new beginnings. I mean, we got new beginnings on top of new beginnings. And it's about taking a giant stride forward into the future. We're creating it from the now and the now. And then we're going to move forward step by step. Remembering also that we're in a Mercury retrograde, so it's a perfect time to establish connection with spirit and to connect with that. Well, Jean Houston calls that the imaginal realm, where we are, our capacity to imagine is directly related to our capacity of manifesting. Now, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a talk. It's about creating your future from the future. And I've asked everyone to bring a goal that could be completed in 6 weeks. We're going to have them imagine and pretend that that it's already created 6 weeks from now. And I think I'm going to go for the clarity. I want to get out of the fog, but I don't want to go too soon. But I think 6 weeks is a pretty good time. Being in a chrysalis, we know that there's a change that wants to happen. And so I'm asking them to bring something where they want change in the next 6 weeks. So we're going to set out a date 6 weeks from now. And everyone in the room is going to be visualizing. You can be doing that right now. What do you want to create in the next 6 weeks? I said I want a clarity. I'm in the chrysalis being transformed into something new out of the old. And it hasn't been given to me yet what it is. I'm feeling it, kind of feeling it. But yet it's not locked in. Then we're going to go into that place. We're going to feel it already complete. And then we're going to walk it back. I'm going to have them stand up, and they're going to close their eyes, and we're going to walk it back. Just walk it back, walk it back, walk it back. And if they bump into someone, fine, no big deal. Just keep walking it back and walking it back until they get to the now. Then they're going to sit down and write. Pretty exciting, because I know that there are people in there who have some health issues, and I think that's going to get resolved. So here we go with that new moon. I'll be giving you more about that at a later time next week. We have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All right, so we're talking about that sixth sense, that imagination. And if we stay connected to that sixth sense or the intuitive, there's no way you're going to fail. It's when we forget about it. And we're going, we march around, we go here, we go there, and we start getting our mind engaged. Oh, my goodness, that mind is so powerful. And you're denying that 90% of your brain that is the imagination and the intuitive. I'm comparing them pretty closely. And what I've just read in this one thing by in Chidan Bhagat's book about, it says that God is not, I mean, is within us. That's for sure. And because God cannot be with 7 billion human beings, He's given each of us a device called the inner voice, the imagination. He's given us our capacity to communicate with spirit. Cool, huh? And if you forget to communicate with spirit, or you just keep marching around again, and you forget to stop and slow down, then you're solving problems from an analytical place, which is fine. However, you may be missing that small voice, and sometimes it's a loud voice, depending, that communication with source, that communication with spirit. So in the mind or in the subconscious, we get the problem, the situation, and in that sixth sense place, I call it the zone, the imagination or the intuition can kick in. Well, pretty cool, huh? So when we get to Gulf, we're going to be talking with Angie about all of the principles of spirituality and how that influences the way you play golf or the way you play life. So I think I'm going to go ahead and bring Angie in, and then I'm going to do the tarot cards with her because I think she was in one of my tarot classes, if I am not mistaken. Hello, Angie.
Hey, Judith. How's it going?
It's going good. Going good.
Good. Yeah, I did take one of your tarot classes.
I thought you did, yes.
I hate to think how many years ago that was.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And now you use a different deck. You use which one?
I use Tarot of the Spirit.
Tarot of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And yet you probably still remember a lot of what are on the cards.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Angie, I'd like to have you pick a number between 1 and 4. I have 4 cards. Man, they're good cards. So pick one of these cards that you would like to be yours. And do you have a question that you'd like to throw out?
Oh, let's see. Well, right now, since we're talking about new beginnings, let's go with number 1.
Okay, number 1. Would you pick a card? Pick a card for me.
Oh, let me think. I'm going with 3.
3, okay. And an audience, did you notice she says, let me think? She wasn't thinking. She was going into that deeper place and asking spirit, okay, give me the number.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. All right. That's the card I was going to pick too. So there you go. All right. First card, the 4 of cups, and that is luxury. And this has a pink lotus at the top. It's open. Mm-hmm. Opened, and out of the lotus is coming light, and it's filling 4 cups. And these 4 cups, spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, are being filled by this heart love.
Oh, and it's beautiful.
And it's the moon in Cancer, and Cancer is about healing. It is about the home. So energy, the moon energy, which is what is hidden in and around the Cancer energy of the healing and the home, and what does the open heart mean, and what do the 4 cups mean to you?
Oh my, let's see. Well, cups is a word I'm familiar with in golf.
Very and, good. Okay, I wanted you to relate that to that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a target. And so what I'm envisioning are 4 goals, and we can relate them certainly to the 4 suits. But as I'm getting this sense, it's let's put some new goals out there. Let's imagine some new things and fill those cups up.
Good job. That's very good. So 4 new goals, and the cups are being filled from the heart energy.
Yes.
Very nice, very nice. And what does Cancer, the crab, mean to you? The moon in Cancer, which is, you know, that hidden part of the hit of the home and the hit and the healing.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing because it's always about there's a reflection of some sort going on it, and being able to discern is this the true sense of what's happening right now, or am I being distracted by something that's got nothing to do with it, but it's doing its best to take me off base. So sometimes, like, as I'm focusing on a goal or even a golf shot, I can get distracted easily by, say, a hazard, a sand trap, a creek, whatever. And if I get distracted, it takes me off the track of keeping my imagination on the goal and then finishing the shot the way I imagine it.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it puts me more on my fear than it does on the course of the actual result I'm looking for.
Great. Exactly. So good. Very good. Very good.
Oh.
Okay, card number two.
Yeah,
this is fun. I like it. I like doing this.
Yeah.
The eight of the number two card, for those people in the audience who selected this, neither Angie nor myself selected this, but it's still relative to us. So we're going to ask Angie, and I'll give a little bit of information about it. The Eight of Wands is swiftness. Wands are spiritual, and it shows a rainbow up on the top. And the rainbow is about your goal or your vision coming together so that it's complete. And, you know, rainbows, you can't touch them. You can't grab them.
No,
and yet that's the part of the imaginal realm.
Yep. Yeah.
And go ahead.
Wow.
Go ahead.
No, the sense that I'm feeling right now is that the universe is opening up to the idea or concept of what we have in mind, and is more than happy to help us achieve that if we can maintain that focus on what we want rather than on being distracted by anything else.
Great. Below the rainbow are lightning bolts that are just shooting out from, you know, it's underneath the rainbow of the completed vision, and the lightning bolts are just, and there are eight of them coming out from the center of some kind of squares and formations, but they're not concrete. I really can't get a sense of what they are. So what do the rainbows, the lightning bolts mean to you?
Boy, what I'm sensing is a lot of energy, productive energy, something that we can tap into and use to get ourselves where we want to be. I don't ever think a lightning bolt is shot down without some sort of a target. You know, I know some people want to think it's just happenstance where they hit, but
yeah.
I have a feeling there's something that drew that lightning bolt to that spot. And you have to cop to it sometimes and say, whoa.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So the vision, the goal of the rainbow, then energy going out and being attracted to someone or to something. And then the astrology is Mercury, the sign of communication in Sagittarius, which is the vision, the goal, or the teachings. Any comments?
Well, learning to be clear so that we don't confuse the universe with what we want. Come on, let's be real. I mean, how many times we've each and every one of us on this planet said we want something, but it's so nebulous that the universe is like, well, did you want this or did you want that? You want a taste of this to see if that's what you wanted? And then we feel a little bit unfulfilled.
Right.
What comes up. So.
Good readings here, Angie.
I learned from a master, Judith.
Yay! Thank you very much. Okay, card number three, which is my card. Thank you for picking number three. Mm-hmm. It's a mastery card, and that is the Prince of Cups. And the prince is sitting in a chariot, a seashell chariot, because it's Scorpio. Mm-hmm. And he has a bucket over his heart, and out of it are coming snakes. He has, the chariot is a sea, like I said, a seashell. It's being pulled by an eagle, another symbol of Scorpio. He has the prince has a helmet with an eagle on it, and he's ready to dive into the water. And cups are, of course, emotions, and ready, getting ready. Hasn't allowed this to happen yet. And there's a lotus upside down with no seeds in it. Of course, they've been scattered already.
Yeah.
So this is my card. So you get to interpret that for me. I love it.
Ah, let's see. What's coming? Yeah, that's an interesting question. What's coming? Because it feels like you have created around you a fertile ground. You've planted the seeds, and now you're ready to move into the mastery of what you've intended.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, being right on the verge of a new moon and working the energies of this time span between the full moon and the new moon, ready to plant the seeds and really run with it, is the sense I'm getting.
Very good, very good. Right, I have planted a lot of seeds, and I am in the chair, just ready to go. And yet, mm-hmm. I'm not running, or the eagle is not diving. We're just sitting there, like hovering over the water, mm-hmm. and we are ready to dive in.
Yeah,
very good.
It's like when you plant grass, you can't pull it up to make it grow faster. You have to wait for it.
Right. Yeah. It's like being in the chrysalis, or like you said, planting grass. It grows when it's warm enough and when there's enough moisture to be able to support the seeds.
Yeah.
And so to go faster, try to go faster than spirit intends, some people say, well, we'll just break open this chrysalis and get that butterfly out earlier.
Well, nice try.
Yeah, sorry. You have a gelatinous mess there. That's all you're going to find.
Yeah, and it's going to stay that way. It's not. You can't close it back up and start over again.
No,
so,
you can't.
From there, you have to start over again from the very beginning.
So what do you get out of this card for you?
I have some projects in the works, and we haven't spent a lot of time talking about it, but they are to bring spirituality into the golf realm. And I'm getting a little bit, how should I call it, anxious to bring this to fruition. But I know that I need some time to really put all the pieces in the right places. You know how sometimes you're running along and things just kind of synchronistically fall into place? And then there are other times where you have to wait. You know, there's something that's not quite there yet, but you can't make it go any faster because you're not even certain what it is. And that synchronistic moment where you get to put it together just hasn't come upon you yet. And there's a reason.
Right.
There's always a good reason. The hard part is we can't always see it right in that moment.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Hurry up.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm going to send you this book that I have about golf, and this gentleman has taken the seven spiritual laws of golf, mm-hmm. seven spiritual laws from Deepak Chopra, and has applied them to golf. And when I saw the book and I was thinking about having you on the program, I thought, how perfect. I'm going to send you this book because I think it'll give you a, you know, see how he has written the book. Yeah. He had intended to have a page forward by Deepak Chopra, and I see it's missing, and also one from Tiger Woods, and that's also missing. So,
I'm not going on to that topic, but I can understand that one. Yeah.
He didn't. I got an echo in here. Anyway, he didn't hit the mark as far as having those two write his forward. So, okay, card number four. That is the number 11 of the Major Arcana. And this is a Leo card. And it's showing, of course, Major Arcana is that's big stuff, big, big stuff. And the woman is lying upon the back of a lion. And the head of the lion has masks, and she has reins on those masks. So she is getting a handle on the masks that she had heretofore been, you know, trying to put on the facade of something else other than who this person is. That would be me or you or anyone else listening. And she's at the same time naked. So let's just have you see what you see about that.
Boy, that one's just interesting. It's almost like knowing that there's strength in giving up and letting the universe be in charge, and then working from that energy instead of trying to manipulate everything.
Good. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well, and having a handle on the masks of who we thought we were is, I think that's more of a mind game there. And being naked is about being open and vulnerable. And yes, giving up. Okay, I can't do it. Let's let spirit do it or God do it.
Yeah.
And she's reaching up and she's holding on to the whole, to a an urn, which I call the Holy Grail. And above that are snakes on the horizon. So what do you get with her reaching up, open and vulnerable, surrendering to the Holy Grail, which causes this transformation with the snakes?
Yeah, that, which is exactly what you get with snakes. You know, it's not mundane because it's a major, but by the same token, it's time to say, hey, you know what, not my will, but thy will. And here I am.
Yes.
And I'm ready. I'm more than ready.
And that's applying to you about your, is this a golf book or something else?
Yeah, actually, it's pretty cool. I learned a system. I need to call it a system because it really truly is. A system several years ago that allowed me to not only learn to be able to repeat the motion of the golf swing consistently, and I use the word consistently there on purpose because, oh, let's say I sit down with 10 people who come for a golf class and they say, and I ask them the question, what is it that would make the next, you know, 6 hours that we're going to spend together on your golf game worth it to you to have spent the time with me? And, you know, like 7 out of 10 people say, I want more consistency. And then you want to, you know, then you have to say, well, okay, what does that look like? How's that going to feel? What is it now that you don't think you have that you need to achieve? Well, typically it's to be able to hit the ball without having to think so hard while they're swinging. And swinging a golf club is not a thinking thing. It's a feeling thing. It's a sensation. It's not an emotional thing until it becomes one. But it's very much about the sensation initially. And we've got different learning modalities. You know, you've got your visual learners, your auditory learners, and your kinesthetic learners. So when we say sensation, I don't necessarily mean you have to be a kinesthetic learner right off the bat. But everybody gets that kind of when they hit the ball and they hit it well and they know it, it's because everything just blended together. The energy all went the same direction at the same time. And allowing people to find out what that feels like and to be able to do that over and over again is part of this learning technique. And so it's time to bring that out to more people. The person I learned it from has given me his blessing to teach it.
Wonderful.
And to teach it not just in golf, but in other sports as well.
And in life.
Fantastic, yeah. And then bring that to life, yeah.
Because as of the part of the book title is, golf is a metaphor for life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I like to think of it as the safest laboratory on the planet.
Really?
Yeah, learning golf skills is very much like learning manifesting skills. All right? I have a result in mind. Well, I alluded to it a little earlier. If I get distracted by my fears, oh my gosh, I'm standing here on the first tee. It's a beautiful golf course. And I've never played it before, and it scares me because I don't know what's coming. And then I bring those thoughts back in and say, ah, but I do know what's coming. What's coming now is a brilliant golf shot. And then I go through the process or the steps that I know set me up to hit the best golf shot I can in that moment. And then I step aside emotionally so that I'm no longer distracted by the fear that tries to rise up inside, and focus strictly on what does a good golf swing feel like emotionally, physically, what does it sound like, and then put everything into manufacturing that or manifesting that at one golf swing instead of worrying about the rest of the game in one shot. So many times people get distracted from their golf game because I got to tell you, they hit one good shot, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, I'm going to have the round of my life. And that's a great affirmation, except the minute that you stop doing the preparation before the swing, guess what? That other stuff gets a chance to creep in. And when we begin to realize that our preparation work can set us up to have it be a good swing each and every time, and then we focus on doing that, can you imagine how people's games would change, not just their golf game, but in life? I was talking to a gal the other day, and she had done a class, and she goes, you know, funny thing, I yelled out relationship when everybody else was yelling out stuff, except when I yelled, nobody else was yelling. So the whole class heard it. Well, if that isn't putting it out in front of the universe and everybody else there, well, guess what she has 2 years later?
A relationship.
Oh, and not just that. It was it's an outstanding relationship.
Nice.
And an amazing coupling of two really cool people. And they're going to do amazing things in this world because they know how to use that energy.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. So it shows you that kind of intention and laser focus is going to be able to help you not just on the golf course and with your golf game, but in all aspects of life.
Let's walk them. Will you walk us through then the manifestation process? You know, parallel right there to the golf. You're there at the first tee. You're ready to start manifesting.
Yes, yes. And here comes the fun part. What I'll ask you to do is broaden your vision. Most people narrow it down, okay? But when you're first starting, I want you to start out with a broad vision. And instead of hitting just one hole out in the distance, or hitting towards that one specific spot, open it up and say, I'm going to hit between the trees on either side of the fairway. So that a good, successful shot will happen in between these trees. Because it's not going to get me in trouble if I hit between the two trees that I select, okay, or whatever those 2 points are out in the distance. You could even picture them as, say, goalposts on a football field. All right, but by giving the mind something that it believes it can achieve. See, and there's part of the big key in this. We always talk about getting real narrow and focused and yada yada, but I got to tell you what, Judith, by opening up the mind to an area where the belief system actually matches your sense of who you are and the skill that you have, it's amazing how much more you can bring that down to a narrow focus. As you start to believe more and more that you can do what it is that you're asking yourself to do. So on the golf course, I open it up. I say, okay, between these two areas, we could even say the wall, which is something that we use as a visual technique in this learning system. We'll create two large brick walls on either side of the fairway. And you look at it and you go, oh, shoot, how could I not miss that target? And we reframe it and we say, oh, I can hit the ball in that area. And you hear the certainty in that sentence versus the one prior. With that certainty, I've got this great big area. I don't have to have it in one little 4.25-inch hole in one swing. I can have it in this larger area. Now, the beauty of the system comes later on. As you believe in this more and more, the mind... is a balance-seeking tool. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you standing up. Do you stand off balance naturally? No. The body's always looking for balance. How good is that? So let's use that to begin to realize that if I give myself a target that I can believe in and my mind wants to be in balance, guess what my target becomes in a subconscious manner? The center.
Right.
Yeah. So let's say we've hit our shot down the fairway. We're playing a par four hole. That means that it would take an expert four shots to get the ball into the hole without any trouble happening. So we've hit our first shot. We're getting ready to hit our second shot to the green. And now we get to take and put our walls up on either side of the hole. Because, you know, I'm standing 150 yards away from the green. Do I hold a belief system that I can, or a belief that I can actually hit it from there into the hole each and every time? No, but if you're watching the pros, what you'll notice is they've pretty much got an area that they believe they can hit into.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they ride that belief system, they can do that, the closer their ball ends up to the hole when they hit toward it. And the ball's on green.
Can we go to the go back to the manifesting?
Okay.
So we're,
I'm sorry.
So you're, yeah, that's okay. I'm good. We've gotten to shot number two, and we are putting up a brick wall now on either side.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're manifesting, let's say a relationship or or new clients, so you're setting up your goals between A and B. Between is this? Let's walk me through this.
Okay. So let's go. I have a I also do a networking business. Okay.
Yes.
And what I like to do is I like to set up a situation where when people come to hear a presentation or I'm having a one-on-one with them, I give them a great big area to look at, okay? Because I don't want them to get overwhelmed with, I could never get to there. You know how a lot of times people will present something to you, but what they're presenting is their end target. All right, and the person sitting in front of them goes, "Yeah, but I have no idea how to get there. I could never do that."
Uh-huh.
When in fact, what you have to offer them is something that is simple and repeatable and duplicatable. And
right.
So what we do is we start with a bigger picture of here's something that's really easy to do. Is this something you see yourself able to do? And they take a look at it and they'll say, "Yeah, that looks pretty simple." And so you sit down with them and say, "All right, let's do that. Let's make a list of people that you know that would also be interested in my product, which may soon be your product, but we leave that part out right now." Okay?
Yeah.
And then we bring it down to, okay, now you've got some friends. Would they be somebody that you would be able to work with on a long-term basis? How well do you know them? You know, we walk them through, and then we narrow our list down. Before you know it, they've got two or three people that they're pretty sure would be just as interested in this opportunity as they are.
Mm-hmm. And so you broadened it out, brought it in to all of their friends, and
mm-hmm.
made it simple. So it wasn't so complicated. You aren't shooting for that one little hole on the green. You're
mm-hmm.
you're not just going to hit. Focus on money. Take it, broadened it, and made it about their friends.
Right. And the joy and pleasure of being able to work with them, and give them the opportunity to grow with you. Because you know when you start these businesses, especially if you're in a networking business of any kind, one of the things I've noticed is you got to keep running to keep up with me. Okay.
I can tell you that for sure. Yes.
Yeah. And so I don't want to tell somebody, okay, we're going to go out and run a marathon. Are you ready?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. So what we do is we start from a picture where it's the real gentle training part, you know? could we walk around the block and talk to some of your friends in your neighborhood? Yeah, okay, I could do that. And it's just preparation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're taking your time. It's building your belief systems. Now what do we do? Oh, you know what? I'm going to have a party at my house next week. Why don't you invite some of those people to come with you? And, you know, so we have a lot of different avenues.
Right. I'm bringing it back to the Gulf so yeah. that you're broadening that target, not just mm-hmm. pinning it on just one person or a complicated system. It's all mm-hmm. about the belief system.
Yeah.
You're strengthening yeah. the belief system in the first person you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And then if you were to take it to, okay, I'm going to set a goal of $1,500 for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a short term.
Right.
And that's maybe too short. Maybe that's too narrow. Maybe it needs
it
to be brought with
people.
A time.
Yeah. Depends on the background they're coming from and what they've been doing up till now.
So, right.
Yeah.
And to just focus on money is usually not the best. It's better to focus on the principles and the belief mm-hmm. systems. And where is that person right now? And if they are in crisis, this is definitely not the time to lay something complicated on them and say, okay, I'm taking you out to the golf course without any training.
Right.
That person will they'll look at the golf club and they'll say, what the heck is this?
Oh, I got to tell you, that happens on occasions. We'll do, team building activities for some of the businesses in our area. You know, I'm located down in the Silicon Valley.
Right.
So, yeah, you can imagine the companies that still have the wherewithal to be able to do this. And we're out there, and sure enough, there are going to be three or four people, and it doesn't matter, men or women, all right, that have never touched a golf club before, and they're very apprehensive.
Of course.
We have to, you know, what we do is we start with something really simple, and we say, all right, there's a particular way that we like people to put their hands on a golf club so that it helps them hit good shots. And then you get their attention because they want to be able to participate, you know.
Right.
And so we teach them, but I don't stop there by showing them once. I show three or four different ways to get to that same place. So that their belief system gets a little massaging, let's say. And we ask them to do it, and before you know it, they're able to put their hands on the club without any correction or additional instruction. Now they've had success. Are they ready for more? You bet. But if I only show them once, and I say, okay, you do it, and then I leave them there, they don't have time for that, and I don't have time for it either because we've got to have them on the golf course in an hour.
Oh, my goodness. So that's an instant training that you were talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to
mm-hmm.
take it back over to the tarot cards, learning the tarot.
Okay.
I mean, the first thing that we looked at was, you know, finding out what the clubs are, the tools.
Uh-huh.
What are the cards look like and how you would work with these particular cards so tell me what you got out of the class as you were taking this.
You know, I found that listening to that small voice inside,
uh-huh.
it wasn't wrong very often. I
yes.
thought it might be, and I was trying to make more out of it by trying to make things up, I guess. Or in my attempt to remember what I was told about the card. But what I liked when working with your class and on the cards was, hey, you know what? Let's take a look at the picture, and what does it tell you? What is it telling you in that moment?
Mm-hmm.
And then just go ahead and go with that and see what happens. Because so frequently it turned out to be a message that if I were doing a reading for one of my classmates or just running the card by the whole class at that moment, it was very frequently a message somebody needed to hear.
Exactly.
And they appreciated it, whether it was what the book said or not.
Right. And I, of course, in teaching the class, mm-hmm. like to give a foundation. Like
yeah.
you're doing with how to hold on to the golf club.
Mm-hmm.
But then you take it a step further and set, you know, the tree between the trees. And so that would be compared to, okay, you've seen this card three times before, and now I'm asking you to look at this person in the class, and what symbol jumps out at them? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I love to do in helping people. What symbol is there on that card?
Yeah, picking it out. I mean, when you were talking about the cards, you talked about the different astrological signs and then the different symbology on there and what's it meaning to you right now. And that, you know, before you know it, you just kind of know the card.
Right.
Rather than worrying about what the book says.
And the cards changed meanings as you use them. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes there are a couple cards that like the eight of the major arcana, number eight, the adjustment mm-hmm. card. I mm-hmm. don't even think of it as adjustment. It's changed mm-hmm. meaning to is take a stand. Because of the visual on the picture, you know, it's just, and I've just gotten that's every time I see that, but then it's related to, of course, to the person, mm-hmm. either on the telephone or the radio or, you know, when I'm doing a reading, it's just based on what their question is and what their state of mind is and what spirit wants to give to them. Not me, I'm not giving to them, it's spirit.
No, you know, when you're doing a reading, you're a conduit. You're not.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not. You're not making this stuff up, or you know, the message that you're passing along came from the the guide inside. So,
yes.
Yeah, you step aside, and you give the information, and where it falls is where it's supposed to be.
Right. Sometimes people will say, well, that's not relevant to me right now. I said, write it down. Write it down. Listen to the tape.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me what you think in 6 weeks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so let's go on. We've hit the second, we've gotten to the second swing out of that four. They have four, par four, is it?
It's a par four, yeah. So
we're going up to the second one.
Yes. Now our perspective has changed. We've walked down the fairway. We might have chitched a little bit with the people we're playing with and shared some information. And then you're looking at the next shot and you're going, oh, look, there are some bunkers, well, what are called sand traps. Okay. Off to the right. And, oh, my gosh, over on the left is a cliff. Wow, this hole's getting really tight. Can I keep it in there? And you have to remember, you're talking about a ball that's not even 2 inches in diameter.
I know.
Okay, and you're talking about 80 yards of space, and you're wondering if you can hit it inside 80 yards. And you gotta rethink this a little bit and start to manifest, okay, for yourself, this goalpost situation again, over the green and right over the flagstick. And it brings all your attention and focus to, here's what I can do, and it takes it away from, oh my God, here's what might happen. Because the minute you see a shot in your mind's eye that goes toward the water, guess where your ball is headed?
Yep.
And I don't care how good you are physically, if your mind showed you, as at the very last picture, a ball going into the water because you told yourself, well, I'm not going to hit it in the water. Think back. What just flashed in your mind when you said that?
Uh-huh.
Or even when I said it. You could hear somebody else say it, and it's going to be something that plants in the subconscious as a picture. That picture becomes what you're going to manifest. Unless you know how to refocus that thought, that intention, that goal into something that has nothing to do with all those other things that are distracting you. Kind of like talking about the moon. And when we're talking about, oh God, what card was that? I've forgotten already. But
it was the first card, the sun, the moon and Cancer.
Yeah, and we're talking about, you know, the distractions that happen and how they're just merely reflections of thoughts of, oh, this could happen or that could happen. And they've got nothing to do with the reality if you could stay focused on, oh, look, we're going to go play over here for a little bit. And we're going to do this. Yeah, we get distracted really easily. Human beings are very distractible.
I know it. The mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, all those stage magicians and so forth. It's all about distracting you with one thing so they can do something else and you don't even notice it's happening.
I know it.
that's how easy we are.
Yeah, I know it. So we've hit the third ball, yeah. And we've managed to get past the sand trap, and we've managed to get it on the green.
Yeah. It's on the green. Whoa! It's on the green. We're going, oh, yeah, but I really suck at putting. Now we're in trouble because putting is what's going to help us roll the ball into the hole.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I watch this time and time again. People get on the green, and their knees start to shake, and their mind starts to wander, and it's on everything but paying attention to, all right, I'm going to set my two goalposts on either side of the hole.
Uh-huh.
And inside those two goalposts, and Judith, this is the amazing part, they could be like 3 feet away on either side, so it's a 6-foot tunnel of two walls that you're hitting down.
Uh-huh.
And the amazing thing, the ball goes down the middle if you don't fight it. So if the mind begins to fight it, the tension happens in the arms and hands, the trying to manipulate the shot, the ball into the hole with your putter, compensating moves if you're distracted by, you know, the thought that, oh my God, I missed one of these last time. And we've seen that over the last several weeks with some of the key players on tour. You mentioned one name earlier who's having some putting woes. And now you start to wonder, you know, is Tiger ever going to make those again? He will.
Yeah.
He will, but right now he's more distracted with the thoughts that had to do with, oh, I've been missing so many of these, I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, guess what? Remanifestation of the fear.
So you hit a par four then, huh, Angie?
I made my par.
You did, all right.
I made my par. Yeah, because I either, you know, I either got it real close, or if I didn't miss it, it's in the hole. And then I had my birdie. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, we're getting close to the end of the hour. We could talk more golf here, like, for a long time here.
I could talk for days on all this stuff, yeah.
I know it. So I'd like to have you give your name, spell your last name, and then your contact, so that if anybody wants to, you know, have some golf lessons and then come down to the Bay Area, down to the Silicon Valley, that they could.
I invite everybody to do. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so my first name is Angie, A-N-G-I-E, last name Papangellin, P-A-P-A-N-G-E-L-L-I-N, and my email address, I'm going to give you that first, is CoachAngie1, all one word, the numeral one at the end, and that's at gmail.com, and, oh gosh, and my phone number, 650-799-1273. And that's my cell phone. And unless I'm in the middle of a lesson, I'm probably not going to, I'll pick it up unless I am in the middle of a lesson. I don't like to interrupt my lessons merely because people have, you know, paid me good money to get my attention.
Right.
and not pay attention to my phone. So I'll have to make sure.
Very good. So that number is 650-799-1273, CoachAngie1 at gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming on the program and enlightening folks about the spirituality. And again, as I said, golf is a metaphor for life, and this book is coming to you. And
you
can send me the email of your address, and I will send that to you. And
okay.
I'm going to close. And I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.